हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके पेज 120 Sukadev Goswami continued. From Maru was born a son named Prasushruta. From Prasushruta came Sandhi. From Sandhi came Amarshana. And from Amarshana, a son named Mahasvan. From Mahasvan, Vishvabahu took his birth. From Vishvabahu came a son named Prasenajit. From Prasenajit came Takshaka. And from Takshaka came Brihadbala, who was killed in a fight by your father. So he's talking to
Kusha.
Parikit. Oh yes, Parikit Maharaj, whose father then Abhimanyu killed him. Okay. Brihadbala was killed by Abhimanyu, the father of Maharaj Parikit. Okay, it's right here in the footnotes. Sitting speculating. All these kings in the dynasty of Ikshvaku have passed away. Now please listen as I describe the kings who will be born in the future. From Brihadbala will come Brihadrana. Brihadrana. The son of Brihadrana will be Urukriya, who will have a son named Vatsavridha. Vatsavridha will have a son named Prativyoma, and Prativyoma will have a son named Banu, from whom Divaka, a great commander of soldiers, will take birth. Thereafter, from Divaka will come a son named Sahadeva, and from Sahadeva, a great hero named Brihadashva. From Brihadashva will come Banuman, and from Banuman will come Pratikashva. The son of Pratikashva will be Supratika. Thereafter, from Supratika will come Marudeva. From Marudeva, Sunakshatra. From Sunakshatra, Pushkara. And from Pushkara, Antariksha. The son of Antariksha will be Sutapa, and his son will be Amitrajit. From Amitrajit will come a son named Brihadraj. From Brihadraj will come Barhi, and from Barhi will come Kritanjaya. The son of Kritanjaya will be known as Rananjaya, and from him will come a son named Sanjaya. From Sanjaya will come Shakya. From Shakya will come Shudhoda, and from Shudhoda will come Langala. From Langala will come Prasenajit, and from Prasenajit, Kshudraka. From Kshudraka will come Ranaka. From Ranaka will come Surata, and from Surata will come Sumitra, ending the dynasty. This is the description of the dynasty of Brihadbala. The last king in the dynasty of Ikshvaku will be Sumitra. After Sumitra, there will be no more sons in the dynasty of the sun god, and thus the dynasty will end. Right. So then Maru will start it again at the end, and like this. So the moon dynasty, the same. They go 28 generations into Kali Yuga and then stop.
Right.
Yes.
So now there are no moon and sun dynasties.
No, because 28 generations means, you know, you go over a few hundred, because in your Kali Yuga, say, live 100 years. So, you know, basically, even if you're taking it, every 25 years, there's a new king. And then as it gets going, maybe they stick a little longer. You know, so, you know, 300 years, or, yeah, you know, 400 years, and that's it. So basically, from before, they would count that, you know, things are nicely documented. It'd be, you know, the ancient. That's why you see is you have something like I think it's the Egyptians and like that. There's some, you know, something happening, and then it suddenly kind of disappears, and then it comes up again.
Greeks.
Yeah, Greeks also. It's going, and then it disappears, and then it comes up again. So it means it's the end of the Dwapara, so there's still something going on, and then it kind of fades out, and then they kind of build it up again. Like that. So in India, it'll just go down, and then just, you know, the standards will go on, but you won't have those two dynasties moving anymore. Yeah. But still, so much is left. You know, Prabhupada says it. How you say? Morahati lakh taka. The dead elephant's still worth a lakh of rupees. Means whatever the elephant's worth is worth the same dead. Because the bones are ivory. Like that. Yeah?
Economically, that's...
No, yeah, well, that's for the main ivory. But the bones, they don't generally work with the other ones. But if they were doing, because all the bones are. It's just regular bones aren't the first class ivory. That's the tusks. So it's the next grade of ivory. Yeah. You know, so they would make, you know, you make things for the deities and stuff like that. Chapter 13, the dynasty of Maharaj Nimi. So this is the last one in this section. Okay. Pratigya. If one has a strong desire to serve the Lord, even if he accepts a material body, there is no cause of anxiety, since a devotee, even in a material body, is a liberated soul. Because a devotee does not think like yogis and jnanis who want to refuse a material body and become one with the impersonal Brahman effulgence. On the contrary, he will accept any body, material or spiritual, for he wants to serve the Lord. This is real liberation. But Maharaj Nimi did not want to accept a material body, which would be the cause of bondage. The material body, whether in the higher or lower planetary system, is destined to die. In the lower planetary system or lower species of life, one may die soon. And in the higher planets or higher species, one may live a long, long time, but death is inevitable. This fact should be understood. In the human form of life, one should take the opportunity to put an end to birth, death, old age, and disease by performing tapasya. This is the aim of human civilization, to stop the repetition of birth and death, which is called Mrityu Samsara Vartmani, Bhagavad Gita 9.3. This can be done only when one is Krishna conscious or has achieved the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, one must rot in this material world and accept a material body, subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. Therefore, we should follow the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahaitu gitvai. Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila 20.29, Shikshastra 4. Doesn't matter whether we accept a material body or a spiritual body. Our only ambition should be to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Adhyaya Prakashita.
Huh?
Yes.
Just the structure. Sometimes we have this in the beginning, and it's in the conclusion also. Sometimes we have just a little bit.
What we're working on is that this is a synopsis, and then the full will be at the end. Okay. Like that. No, that's the general. Like that. Is that, did they put the same
at the
end?
There's conclusion there also.
It's the same. Yeah, no, the idea is that it's just a synopsis that you get an idea of what's going on and then the whole thing there.
Does it mirror the Panchavinaya form? That you have a thesis and then a conclusion that's pretty much the same.
Yeah, it'll be the same, but it's just, it'll be in a short form, so you just get the highlights of the points so that you... But right now, it may be the same, but, you know, a touch more about it. But Yaya Prakashika, this chapter describes the dynasty in which the great and learned scholar Janaka was born. This is the dynasty of Maharaj Nimi, who is said to have been the son of Ikshvaku. When Maharaj Nimi began performing great sacrifices, he appointed Vasishtha to be chief priest. But Vasishtha refused, for he had already agreed to be priest in performing a yajna for Lord Indra. Vasishtha therefore requested Maharaj Nimi to wait until Lord Indra's sacrifice was finished. But Maharaj Nimi did not wait. He thought, life is very short, so there is no need to wait. He therefore appointed another priest to perform the yajna. Vasishtha was very angry at King Nimi and cursed him, saying, may your body fall down. Cursed in that way, Maharaj Nimi also became very angry, and he retaliated by saying, may your body also fall down. As a result of this cursing and counter-cursing, both of them died. After this incident, Vasishtha took birth again, begotten by Mitra and Varuna.
When they met Urvashi.
Yeah, just thinking. Also, Bhrigu also took birth from, I think, Mitra and Varuna. Or somebody, at least Varuna. So it seems that this would be a popular place when you kind of lose out, then he's cool. Because you know, so. Bhrigu. No, but. I'm not sure, but Bhrigu, what I'm saying is Vashishtha took birth from Mitra and Varuna. But also in the Taittiriya Upanishad, Bhrigu, even though he's the son of Brahma, he also got cursed and then he took birth as Varuna. So the whole Taittiriya Upanishad is Varuna's instructions to Bhrigu. Okay, they were agitated by Urvasi. The priests who were engaged in the sacrifice for King Nimi preserved Nimi's body in fragrant chemicals. When the sacrifice was over, the priests prayed for Nimi's life to all the demigods who had come to the arena of Yajna. But Maharaj Nimi refused to take birth again in a material body because he considered the material body obnoxious. The great sages then churned Nimi's body, and as a result of this churning, Janaka was born. The son of Janaka was Udavasu, and the son of Udavasu was Nandivardhana. The son of Nandivardhana was Suketu, and his descendants continued as follows. Devarata, Brihadrata, Mahavirya, Sudriti, Drishtaketu, Haryasva, Maru, Pratipaka, Kritarata, Devamida, Vishruta, Mahadriti, Kirtirata, Maharoma, Swarna Roma, Hrasva Roma, and Shiradvaja. All these sons appeared in the dynasty one after another. From Shiradvaja, Mother Sita Devi was born. Shiradvaja's son was Kushadvaja. And the son of Kushadvaja was Dharmadvaja. The sons of Dharmadvaja were Kritadvaj and Mitadvaj. The son of Kritadvaj was Keshidvaj, and the son of Mitadvaj was Kandikya. Keshidvaj was a self-realized soul, and his son was Banuman, whose descendants were as follows. Satyadumna, Suchi, Sanadvaja, Urja Ketu, Aja, Purujit, Arishtanemi, Shrutayu, Supar, Shvaka, Chitrarata, Kshemadi, Samarata, Satyarata, Upaguru, Upagupta, Vasvananta, Yuyudha, Subhashana, Shruta, Jaya, Vijaya, Rita, Shunaka, Vitahavya, Driti, Bahulasva, Kriti, and Mahavasi. All of these sons were great self-controlled personalities. This completes the list of the entire dynasty. Shloka Anushana. Verses 1 to 12, Katha of Maharaj Nimi, the son of Ikshvaku. 13 to 27, the dynasty of Maharaj Nimi. 1 to 12, Katha of Maharaj Nimi, the son of Ikshvaku. Sukadeva Goswami said, after beginning sacrifices, Maharaj Nimi, the son of Ikshvaku, requested the great sage Vashishta to take the post of chief priest. At that time, Vashishta replied, my dear Maharaj Nimi, I have already accepted the same post in a sacrifice begun by Lord Indra. I shall return here after finishing the yajna for Indra. Kindly wait for me until then. Maharaj Nimi remained silent, and Vashishta began to perform the sacrifice for Lord Indra. Maharaj Nimi, being a self-realized soul, considered that his life was flickering. Therefore, instead of waiting long for Vashishta, he began performing the sacrifice with other priests. Footnote 27. Srila Prabhupada writes in verse 3, Chanakya Pandit says, the duration of one's life in the material world may end at any moment, but if within this life one does something worthy, that qualification is depicted in history eternally. Here is a great personality, Maharaj Nimi, who knew this fact. In the human form of life, one should perform activities in such a way that at the end he goes back home, back to Godhead. This is self-realization. After completing the sacrificial performance for King Indra, the spiritual master Vashishta returned and found that his disciple Maharaj Nimi had disobeyed his instructions. Thus Vashishta cursed him, saying, "May the material body of Nimi, who considers himself learned, immediately fall." For unnecessarily cursing him when he had committed no offense, Maharaj Nimi countercursed his spiritual master. For the sake of getting contributions from the King of Heaven, he said, "You have lost your religious intelligence. Therefore I pronounce this curse. Your body also will fall." Footnote 28. Srila Prabhupada writes in verse 5, "The religious principle for a Brahmin is that he should not be greedy at all. In this case, however, for the sake of more lucrative remunerations from the King of Heaven, Vashishta neglected Maharaj Nimi's request on this planet. And when Nimi performed the sacrifices with other priests, Vashishta unnecessarily cursed him." When one is infected by contaminated activities, his power, material or spiritual, reduces. Although Vashishta was the spiritual master of Maharaj Nimi, because of his greed, he became fallen. Right? So therefore, he could see that, you know, this was improper. So then, dealing in this way, it wasn't considered a problem. Yes.
See, nowadays scenario, you know, the spiritual master can be, you know, always on the front line, you know, preaching.
Yeah.
He has many disciples, but he's not, you know, like educating them as such. So then, what is the position of the disciple? He needs some shiksha, and how is that all solved now?
See, generally, because it's a society, then you have all individuals there. So you have those who. Means you have the Adi Guru, Srila Prabhupada, you have the Diksha Guru as Sadguru, then there may be Siksha Guru, Sadguru, then you have the preachers. Those preachers may be someone else's guru, you know, so it's not that it's a level of advancement specifically. It means how you're connected. Does that make sense? No. We're saying the second level is Sadguru. So
yeah.
That means your guru. And then that means me, Diksha, and Siksha Gurus.
Right.
Now, in the third level is preachers.
Yeah.
Now, that may be other who are Diksha and Siksha Gurus on the side level for other people,
right.
But not for you.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily what I'm saying is that it's that kind of a hierarchy. It just means that, in other words, there's Prabhupada and those who represent Prabhupada. And then from those, there'll be some who will be, you know, seen on the sad level. That, they're taking that responsibility. So now in taking that responsibility, there's that connection. That's the most important element. But within the society, because it's a preaching society, there's so many preachers, then we can take advantage of the direction from so many devotees. But you have the aspect of gurus given instruction. We can just be following that, and on that we can develop. We have the Adi Guru, so we have Prabhupada's instructions, so we're studying his books. And moving forward with that, but if it's seen to be necessary for more than that, then we may be relying more on specific Siksha Gurus than just on the general preachers who may happen to be coming through wherever we're staying. Is that?
Yeah, because here we see the conflict of interests. Like he went somewhere else, and
yeah, but here it was based on the material consideration. But if it's just based on preaching or things like that, then that kind of conflict won't come up. But if it's a matter of, as Rupa Goswami says, if someone is simply trying to gain material, gain disciples, because that will increase the volume of. Facilities he has, respect, or money, and all that. Then you could say it could fall into this category. So then if someone is out moving around a lot just to get that aspect, then that's not considered. So
yeah,
that would be a conflict. But this other is just basically how the society's set up, so that there's so much traveling, preaching, and things like that. You could say a difficulty comes is that the particular. It means if someone's preaching in a particular area and moves around in that, then there won't be so much problem. But if, let's say, on some of the yatras, not sure how you put the word, continuity?
Continual?
the
continuity.
Means, in other words, somebody's zone is one city over here, another city there, a country here, so it's like, you know, like the British Empire, but, you know, a lot smaller than the British Empire, but, you know, the same concept that the sun never sets, while technically it's easier if it's all in one area, and so then they can focus, move around easily, and not have a problem. So I remember, like, Sohotramars, he would go into Greece, you know, stay there, then he'd have a van, then he'd drive you up to, what's next?
Bulgaria,
then up to Romania, then Hungary, then Czech, then into Poland, then you know, Germany, then go across, then Denmark, then up to Sweden, Finland, and then when he finished there, he'd turn around, drive back down, meet all the places, and then come back to India. You know, so that's your, because then it's very easy to just move around and do anything. But these other things, then sometimes it's not an ideal arrangement. Oh my God. Does that work?
Yeah.
Yeah. So unless there's some material reason for moving around, then technically there won't be any conflict. So it won't come into this same category. Here it's because he could have done his sacrifice, but Indra's offering, so he'll get much more from there, so he does Indra's first, but says, you keep yours and I'll come back. But the problem is this one thing, does his go us up to Indra? Because if he does a yagya, even if it takes a year, that's only one day for Indra.
Yeah.
But if he goes up and does you know, the yagya for Indra, then that's going to be many years over here, so it's actually improper to do it that way.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
This is the Hezekamadena whole thing with Vishwamitra started with that. So what Indra can give him more than he doesn't have? What is the word?
Then you have a cow and something more. No, but it's just, yeah. The thing is, these things come up now and again, and then it creates something interesting. So everything works so perfectly, we go... Yes, and so this king, he had, you know, he had his son, and everything was fabulous, and his son, and it was all right, and it was just like, you know, his, you know, father before him, then I'd like that, and this guy did a yagya, and that's like this and that, and that's the whole history.
Sometimes it sounds like that.
Yeah, but when you hit somebody prominent, then it comes out, you know, so, but I'm saying then, you know, nobody, it's all fabulous, so. My grandfather said that one gentleman in the Midwest, he got really sick of newspapers always having just bad news. So he thought, I'll make a newspaper that just has good news. So he started publishing. He lasted 3 weeks. Like that.
Nobody cares.
So, yeah.
No juice.
Yeah, that's the whole point. So it was just... good stuff. And okay, where were we? We were on the numbers somewhere. Where is this number? Ah, 28. Yes. After saying this, Maharaj Nimi, who was expert in the science of spiritual knowledge, gave up his body. Vasishtha, the great-grandfather, gave up his body also. But through the semen discharged by Mitra and Varuna, when they saw Urvasi, he was born again.
He was the firstborn again.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the firstborn again. During the performance of the yagya, the body relinquished by Maharaj Nimi was preserved in fragrant substances, and at the end of the Sutra Yaga, the great saints and brahmanas made the following request to all the demigods assembled there. If you are satisfied with this sacrifice, and you are actually able to do so, kindly bring Maharaj Nimi back to life in this body. Because he was cursed that his body would fall down. It wasn't cursed that you can't come back into it. Right? You know, like that. Yeah. So it wasn't wrong for the Brahmins to do that. The demigods said yes to this request by the sages, but Maharaj Nimi said, please do not imprison me again in the material body. Right? So he's laying there and... excuse me, one moment. What? Yeah. Maharaj Nimi continued.
I mean, continued. Technically, he was a ghost.
No, he's...
He doesn't have a body.
No, but, you know, it doesn't mean that your body can't speak.
Oh, that's...
Yeah. Okay. Maharaj Nimi continued, Mayavadis generally want freedom from accepting a material body because they fear having to give it up again. But devotees whose intelligence is always filled with the service of the Lord are unafraid. Indeed. Okay. Public game and stuff. Indeed, they take advantage of the body to render transcendental loving service. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 9. Maharaj Nimi did not want to accept a material body, which would be the cause of bondage. Because he was a devotee, he wanted a body by which he could render devotional service to the Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, My Lord, if you want me to take birth and accept a material body again, kindly do me this favor. Allow me to take birth in the home of your servant, your devotee. I do not mind being born there, even as an insignificant creature like an insect. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, O Lord of the universe, I do not desire material wealth, materialistic followers, a beautiful wife, or fruit of activities described in flowery language. All I want life after life is unmotivated devotional service to you, Shikshastika 4. By saying life after life, janmani, janmani, the Lord referred not to any ordinary birth, but to a birth in which to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Such a body is desirable. A devotee does not think like yogis and jnanis, who want to refuse a material body and become one with the impersonal Brahman effulgence, right? Because they just don't want a body, right? Devotee does not like this idea. On the contrary, he will accept any body, material or spiritual, for he wants to serve the Lord. This is real liberation. If one has a strong desire to serve the Lord, even if he accepts a material body, there is no cause of anxiety, since a devotee, even in a material body, is a liberated soul. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in the service of Krishna, with his body, mind, intelligence, and words, is a liberated person even within the material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. So we say the so-called material activities because there's activities that generally we would identify these are material, right? Dealing with money or family or social elements or like this, ritualistic activities. So we'll call them material. But for the devotee, he sees them all in connection with the Lord, they're not material. But they'd be so-called. Or sometimes we even see when we're just talking in general, because here he's making that specific point. So sometimes he'll say, other times he says, even when the devotee's engaged in material activities. But for the devotee, it's not material activities. For others, it would be. But for them, it's not. So, yes.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentions that, you know, in the process of devotional service, we develop, you know, the mentally conceived body first.
Yes.
Then we appear in Gokul, in the next body, and then the Golok, the Vastu City, the Krishna gives us the real body. So is it the same body?
It's the same. It's the same. Because the point is you're there in the... Okay, means... Through meditation, then one is meditating. If one's come to that position where then one is within the pastimes, but one actually has that spiritual form, one's in the pastimes, but one comes and goes.
Yeah.
So that's why it'll be considered different than when you leave this body and then you're in that body.
Yeah.
There. And so that'll be a difference. And then the other is that technically, if you weren't so serious about Krishna consciousness, you technically could take birth again and again in Gokul, in a spiritual body. Right, so that would be the difference between when you've actually come, means you didn't come to prema. But if you come to prema, then one goes to Golok. But it's the same place and it's the same body. So you're just making a distinction on whether it's mental, whether it's in Gokul, or whether it's in Golok. But it's otherwise it's the same body. Mm-hmm. But it's not that you have, you know, how you say, spiritual body plus. You know,
2.0.
Yeah, you know, like that. So it's there. So depending on how you put it, you could say Vastu Siddhi means you attain that position, so that makes the, that's the inherited, the Sampatidasa. Like that, you come to that. But the, otherwise, it's, you know, you've come to that, that's the position. Because there's also sometimes it's called that when you leave this body and are there. So the natural is you're in meditation, and then when it's just, basically it's said you keep coming and going, you're in the pastimes, and now you're part of the pastimes rather than all the preliminary. So that means past Purva Rag. So then at some point the external associates say, why don't you just stay? Why do you go back? Mm-hmm. So when that happens, then on this side, then we will take it that the person left the body.
Yeah.
But all it was is they just didn't come back, that's all. Okay. So, in other words, because it has so many aspects how it could be performed, then many of these terms are overlapping. Right. But it's not that it's a different body or something. You know, it's not like you get the small, you get the tricycle, and then you get the small bicycle with the training wheels, and then you get, you know, it's the same body. Because that's naturally one's body. We've just come here and taking on slightly less qualified bodies. So, yeah? The desire to serve the Lord establishes one as liberated in any condition of life, whether in a spiritual body or a material body, right? Because spiritual means you're on that particular platform, right? That means you're out of the material and you're situated in consciousness on the spiritual platform. So that's why we make the distinction: is you have, you can say material, you have the spiritual, and then you have the transcendental. So for the devotee, they're always transcendental. So they're situated on the spiritual platform. The impersonalists, they want to not have a body and get to that platform. But for the devotees, they want to be on that platform with the body so they can serve. So that's why if you're on that body platform, it doesn't matter whether the body is actually material or spiritual. It really doesn't matter. So, yeah. In a spiritual body, the devotee becomes a direct associate of the Lord. But even though a devotee may superficially appear to be in a material body, he is always liberated and is engaged in the same duties of service to the Lord as a devotee in Vaikuntha. Because the services that we're going on here that are recommended are the same what they do in Vaikuntha. Just you have a little better ingredients there.
Right.
Yes.
So this principle applies both for sadhakas and siddhas.
Yes. Yeah. Means the sadhaka is liberated, but whether he knows he's liberated, that's another thing. So he's actually on the liberated platform because he's not actually being controlled by the material energy, he's being controlled by Krishna. So it's Krishna karma. So he's liberated. But by consciousness he still identifies in a conditioned state. So there he may function in that way. Mm-hmm. Like that. But as one advances, then one stops functioning in that way and functions on the liberated platform. So you could say is he is liberated, but then you could say someone on the platform of bhava, then you could say that they're really liberated, you know, and then when they get to prema, then really, really, really real liberated. You know, so that's the really real thing.
So on the level of bhava, the situation matches the realization. More or less.
Yes, you could say that. But still, that spiritual body can be taken higher, so you could say, in one sense, it's less, but at least they're able to function on that platform. Because they may have a spiritual body, but still be just interested in household duties and making cow dung patties and taking care of the kids. And you know, space out on other stuff. Yeah. He did it with the material body, but you can basically do the same thing with the spiritual body. That's the whole point. To toss it, we take it, oh no, when you're there, everything's this, that. No, it's that you're still the same person when you go there. It means body's different.
Can we say that the Yagi Brahmins, that was their position?
Yeah, you could say it like that. So that's the point. They're in Braj. But, you know, even Krishna comes and asks for something. It's kind of like, eat it, kid. You know? Can't you see we're busy doing yajna here? So, you know, that's the whole...
busy worshiping the Lord.
Yeah, we're busy worshiping the Lord. Get out of here. You know, so that's the whole thing is that that can go on. That's when means we'll come where that'll be next year. There's a purport then where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this very, very nicely. So that's the whole thing is that one can be involved. That's why it mentions they're taking care of their children and this and that. Technically it's not their own children. It's children of co-wives, but if any of the wives has a child, it's considered all of their children. You know, just like Lord Ramachandra, then Kaikeyi, right?
Yeah.
Kaushalya's his mother.
Biological.
So he spent more time with Kaikeyi, like that. So he would always be there with Kaikeyi and taking care. Because if any, whenever he was upset or anything, Kaikeyi would be able to make him peaceful. Like that. So their bond was very strong. That's why it's surprising that it was Kaikeyi that then had him sent to the forest. But that's bad association. Like that. Okay. There's no distinction. It is said, Sadhur, Jivo, Vamarova, whether a devotee is alive or dead, his only concern is to serve the Lord. Even if you're dead, you're only to serve the Lord. Like he's saying. That's wait. Okay. Chaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti. You know, he's like, yeah, they're all sitting there saying this, and then he sits up. Then after saying... Okay. When he gives up his body, he goes directly to become an associate of the Lord and serve him, although he does the same thing even in a material body in the material world. So he's always serving here, he'll go there, he'll always serve. So that's why we're doing... That's why we practice here. One, that we'll get there, and two, we can continue there. For a devotee, there is no pain, pleasure, or material perfection. That's an important point, is that we'll say, oh, this is bad, this is good, and this is you know, a good material arrangement. But there is no material perfection. Perfection means it's connected to Krishna. So even if it's not so ideal, but it's connected to Krishna, it's perfect. Right? None of this, what do you call it? That's different from, what do you call it? Transcendental error.
Yeah.
You know, the BBT has that. That means Prabhupada says one, you know, quotes one verse and says the wrong number or something like that. It means what he's saying is correct. But it may, the reference or some other thing may be. You understand? So that we're not worried about because it's about the content, what it says connected to Krishna. So, but those who have the concept, they're still attached to the idea of material perfection. Right? Then they'll come up with the idea, no, there's material faults in the transcendental process, in the devotees, in Krishna, in everybody, in everything, except, of course, hey, what do you call it?
Those without saying.
Yes. Number one, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can that also flip around, that when Prabhupada quotes a verse and says another number, that's not a mistake because you can't distinguish between material and spiritual?
No, the point is it means better to err on that side.
Mm.
You know, than saying, no, Prabhupada said this. No, the point is that's, you know, it's what he's saying. He's saying something, and then there's a medium for that. You're using language.
Yeah.
So it's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why Prabhupada would have whatever arrangements the devotees would make, it's for Krishna. Like, let's say they would generally, most temples started in the most run-down part of town. Why? Because rents are very cheap. Right? So then, but that would be the temple. And it's perfect. Not that, oh, it's in the wrong part of town, it's this and that. It's, no, it's perfect because it's connected to Krishna.
And now 50 years later, the rest have been built up. And
yeah,
really
that's the one thing. Is either you move out and then they move to a better area, when it got, or you just stay there and it'll become the center of town. That's all. You don't have to worry about it, because it's perfect on more levels than we can see. But if we think that no, we can have material perfection, then we'll never actually be satisfied, because there's no such thing. There isn't. Right? No. Like that means, why do we have fog? That's due to, because, you know, Brahma's creating, but then, you know, lust becomes fog. That's why it means in Bengali it's called kuasha. Right? Or some just say kuasha, right? Huh?
Kuasha.
Yeah, but kuasha, ku means bad, and asha means desire.
Bad desire.
Huh?
Bad desire.
Yes, bad desire.
That waits in the morning. In the morning, everybody has bad desires.
Well, sometimes it can go all day, but the point is, yeah, you wake up in the morning, you're grumpy again. Yes, yes, but that's it. Yes, but the whole point is there is no material perfection. So if we can give up that attachment to material perfection, because if we give up the attachment to material perfection, then there's no pain or pleasure, because then those are relative. You say it's pleasure because this is what I call perfection, so the closer to that, that's called pleasure, and the farther away it is the pain. But if there is no material perfection, then it doesn't matter. It's just whatever is valuable for serving Krishna. One may argue that at the time of death, a devotee also suffers because of giving up his material body. But in this connection, the example may be given that a cat carries a mouse in its mouth and also carries a kitten in its mouth. Both the mouse and the kitten are carried in the same mouth, but the perception of the mouse is different from that of the kitten. When a devotee gives up his body, chaktva deham, he is ready to go back home, back to Godhead. Thus, his perception is certainly different from that of a person being taken away by Yamaraj for punishment. Right? Because what's the problem with dying? Is leaving all one's attachments and all the different things, because it's a body in which you can fulfill your desires. You've made efforts, you've gotten some kind of facilities, you know, all that, all those relations, all that will be left behind. That's the main pain for the living entity, like that. But if it's just a matter, no, you're just going to another situation to serve Krishna, then where's the problem? Yeah.
See, in our tradition, it all happens before death, when person accepts Vadapras and just goes away. So the big piece of those just left behind.
So then it makes it so much easier. Because then it's just a matter of you're just performing your activities in service to Krishna, and however long you stay in the body, you'll serve here, and when the body's finished, then you'll go there and continue your service there. That's what Prabhupada's saying. He'll just continue doing his service. His service means surrender to Krishna, following Guru, you know, the parampara, their orders. That's what he's going to do in the spiritual world. We'll do the same thing there. Even though one has a direct associate, one still is following the order of Guru. You know, so it's not, you know, now it's here, independent, now you can do your own thing. No, he's still doing it. All right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, because also you don't have Yamadutas, you don't have snarling. How many heads do they have? Three-headed dogs. I mean, one-headed dog snarling is bad enough. Can you imagine a dog with three? Because the problem with the dog's not so much the body, it's the snarling head. So you have three snarling heads? That means it can bite you in the front, on the right, and on the left. You're not going to get away from this dog.
No. Can see past, present, future.
Past, present, future. So they know where you're going
where
to
you
move.
Go.
Where you were and where you're going. You know. And they got a mouth for each. They'll bite you in the past, in the present, and in the future. Excuse me.
Yeah. No.
Jesus was born.
Mm-hmm.
Longer than
that was called getting a call.
soon you're going to get a call.
Pre-call
call. Is C.
No, but this is from someone else saying I'm going to get a call. So when that call comes, you should take that call.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. When a devotee, right? When a devotee gives up his body? Oh no, Yamaraj. A person whose intelligence always concentrated upon service of the Lord is unafraid of accepting a material body, whereas a non-devotee, having no engagement in the service of the Lord, is very much afraid of accepting a material body or giving up the present one. Because the present one you know, right? You know, what is it? Better the...
You know what you have, you don't know what you have.
No, that's it. Better the, what is it, the enemy you know than the enemy you don't know, or something like that. It's a political sutra. Yeah, so it's, it means you already know this one and it's bad enough, and you know what's the next one going to be. Yeah, so you know. Therefore, we should follow the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mama janmani janmani shware bhavatad bhakti rahituki twayi. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila 20:29, Shikshastaka 4. It doesn't matter whether we accept a material body or a spiritual body. Our only ambition should be to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maharaj Nimi continued, I do not wish to accept a material body, for such a body is the source of all distress, lamentation, and fear, everywhere in the universe, just as it is for a fish in the water, which lives always in anxiety because of fear of death. Because fish is, there's always somebody bigger to eat them, right? Yeah, that's the what do you call it? That's the phone call.
Coping in the old Vedic traditions now with parts, because it's like leftovers from Vedic tradition. You know, chakras are here and there, so leftovers. Because actually, Jesus said he's the son of God. Then, slowly, he became God himself. Yeah, they do worship this guy. But then they invented the three, you know, Holy Ghost, Holy Father, and Holy Son. She's considered a virgin. it's a lot of talk. No, they say no, because the way they copy Torah, because it's still, I mean, frankly, it's still the old language, Arabic is called. And they copy one word, they copy one word, copy. That's the job of those, you know. Some kind of paper, specific paper, because Jews, they worship scriptures. They don't have details. That's really forbidden. So in their synagogues, they have scriptures. So that's why they really reverentially, you know, kind of deal with it. So that's how they copy it. And the word "born" is it something from the tradition? It's not the modified. It's Old Testament as such. It's a tradition how they do it. So Old Testament is considered more authentic. But there are a lot of commentaries. But they're in different books. They don't put the commentaries on Old Testament. Just because the only stories are in the Sukkot, the main stories like Corona and prayers. Like David, Solomon, or some of the prayers, special things. That's what it consists of. Creation first. That's why Saturday they don't work. Because Saturday God rests. Because he created the rest in 6 days. So they're supposed to rest, they came out. Friday and Jumai were the Muslims. They didn't bring them. Jews and Muslims can make cousins. Because Abraham was the father of two sons, Jacob and Isaac. One of them killed the other. And that's how they became enemies. And for one, Jews, Muslims. So they have the same father. So it's 5 7 years old. But mostly, if you're not Jewish there, you still can apply for citizenship, but then your passport, you mention, you're not Jewish. It will be empty. Surrounded by all the Muslim countries, all over. Because there is no different relations with the end of the flag. That's why our airlines are we don't have a relationship with Egypt. Egypt. think those kind of people don't enjoy this. They're just like,
feel that you speak to kings,
The best is OCR. You have to marry someone. Some kind of work.
And you just say one. It's just
First call was to make sure that
just
I took
to
the second
the call.
Yeah.
The call.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. We're at Srila Prabhupada comments, no? Mm-hmm. 10?
Yeah.
The body, the material body? Yeah. The material body, whether in the higher or lower planetary system, is destined to die. In the lower planetary system or lower species of life, one may die soon. And in the higher planets or higher species, one may live for a long, long time. But death is inevitable. This fact should be understood. In the human form of life, one should take the opportunity to put an end to birth, death, old age, and disease by performing tapasya. This is the aim of human civilization, to stop the repetition of birth and death, which is called Mrityu Samsara Vartmani, Bhagavad Gita 9.3. This can be done only when one is Krishna conscious, or has received the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, one must rot in this material world and accept a material body, subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. The example given here is that water is a very nice place for a fish. But the fish is never free from anxiety about death, since big fish are always eager to eat the small fish. Falguni Tara Mahatam. All living entities are eaten by bigger living entities. This is the way of the material nature. Remember seeing this one little thing? It had this little dinky fish. And then this other little bit bigger fish came and ate it, and then this bigger one, and then another bigger one, like that. This monster, all within, you know, a few seconds, you know, like that. Yeah, so. Yes, so. That's every living entity eaten by someone bigger. Those who are devoid of hands are prey for those who have hands. Those devoid of legs are prey for the four-legged. The weak are the subsistence of the strong, and the general rule holds that one living being is food for another. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:13:47 means every living entity is eaten by another living entity. That's just the way. That's how all things work. You know, because you're not eating like rocks or something. There are living entities that eat rocks, but then they're eaten by something. You know. But the rocks that they eat are actually alive. They don't eat dead rocks.
Shaligram.
Yeah, Shaligram, but also when they make the deities of the mountains, then like the Stapati was saying about Nisringadev, they go to the mountain and they look around where those bugs are that are eating the rock, then they know that's alive. So when they find it, you know, that it's the right set, then they cut from there. And then they bring that stone, and then from that they carve the deities. So you're supposed to carve the deities from actually living rock, not dead rock. So even they're eating rocks, but they're alive rocks. So again, one living entity, but eats another. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has created the material world in such a way that one living entity is food for another. Thus, there is a struggle for existence. But although... go out to get your cabbage. yeah, that would be a problem.
Make a good movie.
Yeah, it definitely would. Yeah, so. The cabbage that ate Chicago. Right?
That's not good for killer cabbage.
Yes. Thus, there's a struggle for existence. But although we speak of survival of the fittest, no one can escape death without becoming a devotee of the Lord. Harim Dina. Naivas suritim taranti. One cannot escape the cycle of birth and death without becoming a devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.3. Aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. One who does not attain shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna must certainly wander up and down within the cycle of birth and death. The demigod said, let Maharaj Nimi live without a material body. Let him live in a spiritual body as a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And according to his desire, let him be manifest or unmanifest to common materially embodied people. Srila Prabhupada comments. The demigods wanted Maharaj Nimi to come to life, but Maharaj Nimi did not want to accept another material body. Under the circumstances, the demigods, having been requested by the saintly persons, gave him the benediction that he would be able to stay in his spiritual body. There are two kinds of spiritual bodies, as generally understood by common men. The term spiritual body is sometimes taken to refer to a ghostly body. An impious man who dies after sinful activities is sometimes condemned so that he cannot possess a gross material body of five material elements, but must live in a subtle body of mind, intelligence, and false ego. Can you imagine? It's like you already had enough problem living with yourself and your mind, and that's all you have is your mind. You know? That must be really...
And the desires are still there, but you
can't fulfill them. No. That's why they come and bother people. They come around and harass because they... However, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, devotees can give up the material body and attain a spiritual body free from all material tinges, gross and subtle. Chaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sorjuna. Got nothing on... Germans got nothing on this, right?
That's true.
Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Thus, the demigods gave King Nimi the benediction that he would be able to stay in a purely spiritual body, free from all gross and subtle material contamination. So that means, because it's gross and subtle, means it's not a ghost body. Because otherwise one might ask, well, what is it? How is he interacting? No, no. You can stay in your spiritual body. As a devotee leaving the body, he went there so he can stay in there. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can be seen or unseen according to his own transcendental desire. Similarly, a devotee, being Jivan Mukta, can be seen or not as he chooses. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavrita. Bhagavad Gita 7.25. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is not manifest to everyone and anyone. To the common man, he is unseen. Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyahi. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 17.136 and Brahma Samhita Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.234. Krishna and his name, fame, qualities, and paraphernalia cannot be materially understood unless one is advanced in spiritual life. Sevan Muke Hi Jivadao. One cannot see Krishna. Therefore, the ability to see Krishna depends on Krishna's mercy. The same privilege of being seen or unseen according to one's own desire was given to Maharaj Nimi. Thus, he lived in his original spiritual body as an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter, to save the people from the danger of an unregulated government, the sages churned Maharaj Nimi's material body, from which, as a result, a son was born. Right, so that was the same as like a...
Vena.
Vena, yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments, Arajaka Bhayam. If the government is unsteady and unregulated, there is danger of fear for the people. At the present moment, this danger always exists because of government by the people. Right? Because the people, it means the people are supposed to be protected by someone who can protect the people, but since the people are the ones protecting themselves and they're unable to protect themselves, therefore there's fear of being unprotected because they are.
So the fear is from both sides, basically. The government, you know, they fear of people, and people fear
yeah.
because there's no government.
Yes, and because they elected the government, because the point is that if you could run the government, why would you be electing one? You know, but since they can't run one, they elect a government because they elected it, then it also has the same qualification as them, so therefore then it can't protect them.
And they know it. They know it.
Yeah, yes.
So can we say that the many problem comes from this insecurity, you know?
Yes.
Everybody's insecure,
yes.
That's why people can't really function.
That's, yeah. They can't function, so there's no trust in authority, because the main thing is that there has to be trust in authority. And if there's no trust in authority, then how you move forward? Because everything, all social functions are based on the laws, you know, on authority. So then if you can't appreciate authority, then you won't be able to follow the laws given by authority. Therefore, then your material life will actually not progress very well. You know. So since they're untrained, they don't know, then the problem is they'll elect people who also don't know.
Yeah.
You know, they might be able to manage, but the point is human life is more than just management. You know, I mean, it's like the rat. He's managing. You know, he gets up in the morning, you know, and after, you know, his cup of coffee and dragging the comb through his hair, then he heads out to the field, collects some grains, brings it back home. You know, he's got a whole bank balance. They huge amount. I think some of the laborers were telling me when they go and dig up the rat holes, that sometimes there's 40 kilos of grain inside. You know, just one
like
rat
a,
hole.
It's like a bag.
Yeah, it's a whole sack is in there. You know, they go out and they don't take what they go off and clip off the whole bunch. And drag the bunch in and then keep it nicely. So then you can take out, you know, one and like that. So, you know, they're organized. So it's not, you know, it's not that. And so, you know, it's like they have, you know, the main door, they have other doors, they have emergency doors, they have ones that aren't real ones that like this. And it's a whole scene going on. You know? I think in Calcutta, when they were digging for the metro, because they go way down deeper than anything they do. They hit this tunnel, huge tunnel, that was made by rats. And those rats, that tunnel went all the way, I think, from North Calcutta to South Calcutta. You know, it's a big main thing, and it had ones going off everywhere. So all these rats anywhere in Calcutta could go to anywhere else in Calcutta. They had, you know, they had the metro way before we. You know, like that.
So we just have to follow rats.
Yeah, that's all. You know, so. Yeah.
Probably more organized than
Calcutta. Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely more. And so then, so that's the thing is that managing. So we're not saying that the. Many of the, you know, those who are elected can't do certain offices, you know, and do them quite well. But the problem is because they're untrained, they don't know actually how to protect human life, how to save them from birth, death, old age, and disease, because that will create security.
People want to be cheated.
Yeah, they want to be cheated. Yes.
So as a spiritual society, is it enough for us to have faith in God and Srila Prabhupada, and then we can function?
Yes, because then if you actually on that, then you'll use your intelligence how to best apply. And then the scriptures give directions in that, and we'll apply that. So we're starting from there. And then as you have the ability, then you add in, you know, all the different recommended aspects of organization, and then things work nicely. But if one starts with these other things and doesn't get to the spiritual, then what's the point? Because otherwise, we saw that list of kings, and so what was interesting is he brought those kings down to everyone up to now, all of them, they've all died. Now I'll mention the ones that have yet to be born. You know, so the point is everybody's going to die. You know, if nothing else, even if you're a Chiranjeev, when Brahma leaves, then at that point one will die. So, how you say, the mortality rate in the universe is 100%. That's guaranteed. You know, that one, like that.
So, what makes this point about nuclear war? People are afraid that 70% of the people are going to die. He doesn't understand that because, as he sees it, 100%.
Everybody's going to die.
100 years from now.
Yeah, I think it was when they were on a morning walk. I think it was 75, and that there was this kind of scare about a third world war, you know, like this and that. And so they were discussing like that, and after a couple of days of that, and how intensely the devotees were into it, and Prabhupada says, why are you so worried about, you know, says, you know, bomb drops and you die today or after 20 years, what's the big deal? You're going to die. So how are you preparing for death? Because they were preparing for, you know, after the nuclear thing, then you have to take off the top 2 feet of layer of dirt and this and that and all the, you know, they were really going for it, and where in the world, you know, you can get the places and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And he said, the point is, you're going to die anyway, so what's the big deal? 70%, 100%. Yes. So if you start from there and have that faith, use your intelligence, all in all directions given here, because we've been told the Varnashram is there and how all the different orders, how they're supposed to run. Because even if you know the technical details, it means if Shastra mentioned or didn't mention the technical details of making money, that goes on anyway. Right? So business and labor goes on, whether people, you know, are trained in it, you know, by Shastra or not. But Brahmins and Kshatriyas, without training in Shastra, they can't do the work that they have to do. Then it means everybody else will have a problem. Like that. So that's the whole thing. So that's understood. Then it's just you can establish those things that will work. But now if you say, no, but we have to be practical and do all these other things, but if you don't do that practicality connected with Krishna, then you know, even if it does work, then what have you gained? And as we see, is so many practical individuals have gone to do things, and how much is actually developed by not doing it by starting with faith in Krishna and working back. Right? So it's not viable anyway, because you say, okay, we have to do this, but if you're doing that, since you're going to do it, that means, then do you have the karma to do it? Do you have the brain and ability and all that? Just because we say, you know, like I mentioned, that story of that devotee, you know, he's interested in management, and so there happened to be some big, you know, one of these big world success gurus came to the city he was. And so then he went to the program. And afterwards he was just thinking about what happened. You know, like that. And while he was there, he noticed everybody got up and left. And all that was left was the guy who was giving the seminar. And, you know, they're putting papers and things in his briefcase. You know, it's left a little bit. So then he thought, oh, I'll go up and talk to him. So he went up to him and, you know, asked if he could ask him a few questions, and said yes. And so the first thing he asked him was, says, what's the percentage of the people who came to this program today? You know, hundreds or, I don't think it was one of those thousands, but I think it was, you know, the hundreds kind. So he said, out of these 100 people who came, how many will be able to take what you said and actually apply it in their life, you know, successfully? And because he was himself a manager, you know, so I guess how he asked it and the mood, then he could, the guy who teach him that could understand he's a manager, and he just looked at him directly in the eye and he says, zero. He says, if you're here at this program, you don't know how to manage. You know, you want to, but you can't. Because otherwise, managers, what he's talking about, are already doing it. But, he says, these people want to hear about it, they'll feel inspired, they'll do better in their life at what they're doing, but they won't be able to do what he's talking about. You know, little things, they'll be better at their job or this, but they won't actually be able to go out there and be a self-made man. He said, those people are already doing it. You know, it's like, what is his name? You know, the 7 or 8 or 9 or whatever he's up to
they're
now,
up to
habits
eight.
Of...
Yeah.
What's he up to now?
I think they're up to 8. I don't think they've reached 9. Yeah.
They've reached 9.
Must come
okay. So then, you know, of successful people. But that means they're already successful. They didn't have to take his course to become successful.
But he himself wasn't successful, actually. Except for that book.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that's the point.
He died unsuccessful. Very unhappy.
Yeah.
Grumpy. Yeah, grumpy. Grumpy old guy.
Grumpy old guy. Oh, I thought you said that was his name, Grumpy. Yeah, he was one of the 7 dwarves. They tried to make it, but, you know, it didn't quite, so, you know.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, grumpy. But come on, Disney also does.
Disney got its
strength. Yeah. Disney Papa. Yeah, so like that. Then. So... That's the whole point. Is so therefore, if you want to start from this other side, then your success rate basically is zero. Because if you're talking about it, then you won't be able to do it. Because if you could do it, you just do it and then show devotees how and involve them in doing it. You know, like just early big preachers and managers and that, they would just do it and involve others, and then you'd have this big temple, big yatra, big. But they didn't sit there and have meetings and then tell everybody how they did it. So therefore, if you start with the faith in Krishna, even if materially you aren't very organized, it's still going to work out fine. You're still going to do amazing stuff. Like that. Because it's Krishna's the ability anyway. That's why I'm saying the others said, no, we're going to do it. Then, okay, then how much ability do you have? But if you're depending on Krishna's ability, then mukam karoti vacha lam pangalam gayate. And then what's not possible?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nidai Gaura Prabhupada ki.